I'm Alastair Campbell from The Rest Is Politics.
Nish Kumar here from Pod Save the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, it's very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Pod Save the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September.
So welcome to The Exclusive. I'm your host, Sharon Tharp. First, I want to introduce my friend Sinan. He joins me every week for a weekly breakdown of games. Sin, how are you doing today?
Very good today. How are you?
Good, because today is really fun. We have a special guest. You know, after the events of this week, I just thought, who could we get on that would be really fun?
And gosh, like I am just on cloud nine.
Thank you. So how has it been since you've been home? Give us the update. You got back to work. How are you adjusting to life?
Yeah, I'm like slowly adjusting. You know, I went back to work. I've been spending a lot of time with my friends and family. I've had an opportunity to basically support a lot of local businesses that I love. And I've got to meet some fans at the gym, which is fantastic.
At work or anywhere else?
You know, to be honest with you, a lot of my patients have never seen the show, and so they're not familiar with it. And so they just knew I was not there. And they were like, thank God you're back, and thank God you lost.
Well, I know you said you're back at work. I know one of your big passions is mental health, especially with older adults. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because I don't think people know that you're really into this stuff.
Oh, yeah. So I got interested in working with older adults and their mental health right after residency. I took my first job and was the medical director of med psych at a prominent institution, and then basically found myself really gravitating towards where these two things combined, like my primary care experience and my mental health experience, and where a great intersection is older adults. And there's a huge need for older adults' mental health, specifically related to the cognitive disorders like Alzheimer's disease and late life depression and loneliness and late life psychosis. And so I just gravitated towards this. And there's only 3,300 of us in the country that do this type of work. And so I'm just super passionate about helping families know that we're a resource and then helping them navigate this really tricky system. And then provide their loved ones with a dignified outcome and death. So that's where I love this.
What would your advice be for someone who would wanted to help out or get into something like this?
Yeah, I think that, you know, older adults as a population are a fairly lonely group, especially after the pandemic. So the most important thing to do is find connection in any way possible. And we do that all the time. You know, we have people who come into nursing homes and resident facilities to basically do singing and socialization. Sometimes they'll bring their pets so that people have experience. But it has more to do with like just making a phone call, you know, to your loved one would be enough. Right. So trying to reconnect with some family members or reestablish bonds would be fantastic if you feel comfortable doing that. Not every family is close like that, but just sort of like putting it on your list of being intentional. And I think it makes a huge difference.
Oh, now I feel like I have to go call my grandparents.
Yeah, you should call your grandparents to check in on them, right?
Mental health, obviously Big Brother is a pressure cooker in there. You know, it's a weird experience. Not a lot of people experience it. And I'm assuming when you get out of the house, it's kind of a bit of a shock. What would advice be just for people coming out of the house to take care of themselves? Is there anything specific that you did just for self-care as you adjusted to normal life again?
Yeah, one, take it slow. Two, be kind to yourself. Three, don't read the comments. Yeah. And four, you're going to find that people will love you and hate you. And the important part is to realize like, what is it that you believe? And what is it that you don't believe? And one of the things that as a psychiatrist or mental health trained person, I'm constantly assessing like, what is me and what is not me? And it's really important to make that distinction of like, what is it that you should own and apologize for and accept and change? And what is it that someone may be projecting onto you that has everything to do with them and their story at that time? And so, you know, I've had an opportunity to reflect on that quite a bit and put that into practice.
Wow. There's so many layers to that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially with how prominent like social media is within the Big Brother community. Like it must be hard to like try to navigate between like reading the comments and like holding yourself accountable with stuff you've done in the house, as well as like, you know, saving your mental health and with like for all house guests who like go on the show and leave the show.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I try to remember that I am flooded with so much love right yeah. now. And so many people have said great things to me. But of course, I get negative comments. But I just remind myself that, like, you know, just because you have, if I had a $10,000 in a bank and, you know, and $25 was missing, I'd still be like, yeah, I love $9,975, right? And so, you know, I just always focus my attention on sort of the people that are like helping me thrive. And I have said this before that the world is really hard, right? It's a really challenging place. And you want to surround yourself with people who are cheering you on, right? Because it's already so difficult. And so, you know, for those individuals who have negative things to say, like, you know, those are your opinions and the block function works great on my phone. I would encourage people to realize that not everyone will like you. And we're in a place where there's 8 billion people. And the fact that 8 billion people would all love you, that's crazy. You'd have to be an egomaniac to believe that that was possible.
Yeah.
Yeah. And especially because like at the end of the day, you're just playing a game and it's a show and they need to separate between like the people outside of the game and the people when they're in the game and they're not.
Yeah. And I think that's a problem people have is that they have a hard time separating the person that they love and the game player. Right. And it's the same thing that I'm struggling with constantly, which is like how much of what I know of the people in the show is character versus gameplay. And you don't know that till you actually have a real conversation, right? A conversation where there isn't $750,000 on the line. And so I look forward to the conversations that I'll have with people who have said things about me in the future, right? So that we can clear the air and I can get to know like who they are outside of their competitive spirit.
Yeah, it must be weird when you watch the show to be like, well, this is what I know of the person that I was playing with, right? And then this is what I'm seeing on TV. Is that weird? It has to be weird.
Yeah, it's so weird, right? Because I know these people in a more complex way than what is presented on the television show. And so some of the things that I think about is that consistent with how I know them? And it's hard to know because I'm not there, right? And so a lot is lost, you know, just in body language and vocal expression and intonation. And so when I'm reading some of the live feeds, I'm like, I don't know what to think of this, right? Because it could be taken totally out of context. And as you know, like the live feeds come in and out based upon sort of what's happening in the house. If there's something more exciting, they switch. And so you just miss parts of conversation, which is like the game, right? Like it's just little bits of conversation that you get and then somehow you complete the picture. And in my case, people learn that the picture was wrong. Right? Which ultimately leads to my back door and eviction.
I mean, that makes sense though. Even Cameron, for getting into this week a little bit, like he was lying to the cameras. He was lying to everyone. We didn't even know he was going to nominate the people that he did. So you really don't know what you're getting even on the live feeds, if that's face value or not, right?
Yeah, it was interesting. I had a conversation with Cam's family fascinating enough, they were like, Cam is lying. But you wouldn't know that if you didn't know Cam, right? Like, and his family just has a very different perspective.
Yeah, I was going to say, what did you think of that move? It was pretty fun when I...
Oh, God. I couldn't stop laughing that whole day. I couldn't stop laughing. I still can't stop laughing about it. Because, you know, what's interesting about this move is that Felicia had told me at one point in time, the reason she made this move is as an older adult, she wasn't confident that she'd win the show. But she wanted to be remembered. And so the way she thought she would do that when this opportunity came up is that this would be the biggest move for her, and it would be remembered forever that she backdoored their comp beast. But, you know, I told her, I was like, you know, the biggest thing to be remembered for is winning the game. Like, this move makes no sense, but she had her mind made up and it had already happened. And so, you know, I think what will be remembered out of this moment, if she is evicted, is that will have been the stupidest move that has ever happened in Big Brother this season, right? At least up till now.
Yeah, I'm seeing a lot of, Heisam's karma memes. Are you loving
that? Yeah. And I love it because, like, you know, how often do you actually see the vindication happen, right? Like, how often do you actually get to see, like, when something bad happens, then there is a payment for it, right? We talk about sort of this karmic universe, but we are actually watching it in real time on Big Brother. And that's fascinating to me. Right, that we are actually watching sort of an action basically have the karma response within weeks, and man, it feels so good.
Fun as a viewer, because a lot of the times we don't get these kinds of things on the show. It's a lot of, like, you know, people steamrolling or whatever you want to call it, but it's fun to, you know, throw some chaos in there every once in a while. It's TV.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I love a little bit of chaos, right? And I think that's what actually makes the game, right? If you really want to win this game, you have to basically come up with ways in which to navigate the unexpected. And that's actually what makes a great game player, right? Is that the people we have fallen in love with are the people that we see go against the odds and still come out on top. And we love to root for those people. We want them to win. We want them to succeed. And it's because we believe in their adaptability. And we believe that they are worthy, right? And they demonstrate to us that they don't give up. And that's what we want to see in each other. That's what we want to see in ourselves. And so, like, absolutely, when I see Cameron do something like this, regardless of my opinion of Cameron, right? What I love about this move is it's a strategic, smart game move that will further the game for him. And it has brought us great television in a strategic game move. And I'm like, let's do it, right? You know, which is different than what happened to me, which was an emotional move that made great television, right? And that's true, right? Like, that moment will be immortalized because of how stunned I am, right?
Yeah. Yeah, so, like, continuing off of Cameron's nomination, so he nominates Izzy and Felicia, and, like, just right before we began recording this, we found out that the veto had actually been played, and Jared ended up winning the veto. So what do you think is going to happen with that?
I think that everyone knows that Cameron and Ceri don't have the best relationship. Jared, as you know, is Ceri's son. This is not going to be used. This is going to be kept. It would be a terrible game move to basically use the veto because Ceri will be the replacement nomination. Now the question is what happens next? And what I am excited for is that one of the things that we know just in group theory is that if you're in proximity with people, you're more likely to join them as a group. And we see this right at the beginning. We see sort of like the bye-bye bitches form in the comic room, and then we see the handful form in the scary room, which made my game playing more complex and more difficult, right? But right now, with the exception of Riley, the handful is still intact. And in addition, they are connected to the people who are like their seventh person, which was Corey, and America, which means they now have all the numbers. And they really could make an argument that, like, let's bygones be bygones, just like I said to my team, and let's just go after the other side. And now Bowie feels betrayed. And, like, even if they don't pull everybody, even if they don't pull Corey and America, they will have Bowie. Because now Bowie basically feels like she can't trust this group. And they could decide who goes home, right? And the person that I think is the strongest person of the two right now is Izzy. And Izzy right now is trying to count all her votes, and she has been running around the house. But this group could really say, sorry, and send her home.
be interesting, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that would be fantastic, right? Like, you know, from my own karma standpoint, it would be fantastic, right? Right, that basically the group that they were, that they thought would just disband, actually has reformed. And I love the idea of forgiving people. And I love the idea of moving forward and finding redemption. And basically that builds trust. And that's something I was very big on, right? It's like no relationship that has any lasting potential, it has to be tested. And that was how I felt like if they brought me back, that that was a test of our relationship and I could trust them moving forward, which is why I would have stayed loyal to them. Plus that's where all the numbers were, right? Like, why would I put myself on the other side? It would be silly, right? But the same thing could happen for the handful, right? And so that's what I'm compelled to watch. That's what I'm hoping will happen.
I'm Alistair Campbell from The Rest is Politics.
Nish Kumar here from Pod Save the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, it's very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Pod Save the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Interesting. Yeah, most people would probably come back and want to get revenge, but it is interesting that you want to kind of ingratiate yourself back in with the group. If you get past a week, they're like, oh, you know what? He must really trust us if he's coming back and working with us again. So that's actually an interesting strategy that I don't think a lot of people use.
Yeah, there are two strategies, right? So the first strategy is like flight or fright, which is I'm going to fight and get my revenge. The other strategy is mend and befriend. Right? Which is like, can we basically fix this? Can we solve this? Is there a path forward? Right? And you see both of those strategies used at Big Brother, right? Like for my wanting to stay is I first start with the flight and fright strategy because I'm upset and hurt. And then I realize like, you know, actually I could work with them again. Right? And I do owe them apologies. And so I'm going to apologize and see if that will help us reestablish a connection, if there's a path forward for us. And so, you know, those are the two types of strategies one can use when they're basically on the outs.
Yeah, I guess people just don't do that as much as I would think.
Yeah, because it requires you to be humble, right? It requires you to basically take your ego and put it aside, which is the ironic thing that people accuse me of all the time is that my ego was so huge, which I always find funny because like I'm the first person to apologize for when I've done something wrong, right? And because I've done something wrong, like, you know, and I've hurt someone's ego, then obviously I have to put my ego aside.
Well, I love that. That's an adult.
Yeah. Yeah, like an adult. If they would have just talked to me when their feelings were hurt, like an adult, we could have avoided all this.
Plan was to put up Suri as a backdoor.
So essentially, Cameron hasn't explicitly said that his backdoor plan was to do Suri, but he's been heavily implying that that was the idea. So I think he might make an attempt to try to sway Jared to possibly use the veto, but Jared will probably not do that because of his connection with Suri. So I was thinking, do you think it could be like a potential scenario where Cameron like tries to trick Jared into saying like, I'm using the veto and I'm going to nominate like an America and then actually nominate Suri in that case, like pull the trick on Jared? Or do you think that's like above the thing?
What I'll say. He might be able to trick Jared. He's not able to trick Suri.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? And so Suri is a smart player. She's been playing this for 17 years. She won Traitors. I mean, like, she's going to see right through that and know that she's the backdoor target. It was something similar that she did with me in week one, is that she was concerned she'd be the backdoor target, which then basically inspired me to actually win and compete for veto in what would have seemed to be a relatively easy week. And so I wanted to keep my group together. So of course I basically go out to win the veto, right? But Suri is a smart player, right? She is not going to allow Jared to make this mistake. And Jared right now is listening to her, you know, maybe 80% of the time.
What do you think Cameron's like right move moving forward after this week is?
Yeah, I think Cameron's right move right now is he needs to get the handful back together, right? Like the smart thing to do is basically say, hey, listen, we have been on the outs, but we could actually come together in the spirit of Riley, right? To basically bring let's have the band get back together. And there's still a lot of love for Riley in the house. There was a lot of love for Riley outside the house, which is some of the animosity that I've gotten, is that people really loved Riley and the house guests loved Riley. And they even make an alliance using Riley's name, right? And so, you know, my perspective on this is that if you are able to do Cam, Blue, Matt, and Jay to basically be like, we're gonna do this Riley thing, pull in Bowie. Now you've got five, Cameron is six, and now you can go after them.
Yeah, let's just see if Matt goes with it, because I don't know about him, but.
Yeah, I mean, like Matt is, you know, the way Matt plays his game is that whoever is in Matt's ear the soonest or closest or most often wins his loyalty, which is why he was so close to Riley, and also why he was so close to Jag, and now why he's so close to Suri, right? But it's quite possible, like, you know, he has good feelings towards Jag, and well, I mean, that's always questionable now, right? But, you know, but it's possible, right? It's quite possible.
What else? Oh, I know we have just a couple minutes, so we have a few more questions. So, sure.
Speaking of all of the Riley stuff, and going back to your week as HOH and that whole time period, do you think that there is a move that you would have made instead of the Riley move, or if there's a conversation you would have had that would have been different, that would have potentially changed the outcome of your game?
Yeah, here's the deal. I saw Riley as a fierce competitor. Outside of everything else, I saw her as a fierce competitor. Why is she a fierce competitor? She's physically strong. She basically hangs on that wall and then actually wins the first HOH. That's one. Two, she basically socially gets the group together. She forms the majority alliance, right, with Jay, right? So she is socially strategic at getting people together. Three, she actually had people who were endeared to her, right? There were people who loved her, right? Like Matt and Jay and Cameron, right? This is a huge threat who basically is telling you, I'm coming after you, right? If you leave that person in the game, for me, it is just dangerous, which is why you get such a strong response from me, right? The strong response is I know how powerful Riley is. I know that she has to go. And the game keeps putting twists and turns to make that less likely to happen. And if Riley doesn't go, my game ends next week.
I'm Alistair Campbell from The Rest is Politics.
Anish Kumar here from Podsafe the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, it's very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Podsafe the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Yeah, because she said your name, right?
Yeah, she said my name. And so what it is like, you cannot leave someone that strong, who's that connected, who is like saying your name in the game, right? And I can't play the week after, right? Which means I'm really in jeopardy. And so, you know, there's some casual conversation about like mentioning my name. Maybe she wasn't coming for me. Maybe she wasn't. But Riley's a smart player. And I think that she's a smart person. And although people may look at her and think that she is maybe not that way, she absolutely 100% is a deadly strategic player. right? And that's what I saw in her, which is why you get me, why I'm so anxious about not getting her out and why it sounds like I'm going on a tirade and not listening to anyone. Cause I was like, she is the biggest threat. And we also saw after Riley left, the group crumbles. And I knew that. And I knew that was going to happen. I could feel that happening because everything consolidated around her. And that's why I was like, for our group, we have to take that shot. And so when people are like, you're not listening to us, you're not paying attention to us, why are you interrupting us? Why are you stepping on our toes? I'm like, because Riley is the target. Riley has to go home. And I've said it, I've explained it 1,000 times. I'm not changing my mind, right? And so by the time you get to that veto speech, I am so frustrated. We have had 2 twists and turns where she could basically be removed from the block, right? I could lose her as a target. Like we watch Riley basically have a compelling argument to everyone. And so, you know, Riley does the smart thing. She takes that veto speech and then she basically vilifies me for it, right? Smart game move, right? Absolutely smart game move, right? Like, so would I have done it differently? Yes, because I did actually hurt her feelings in the moment. So she gets an apology, right? But then she uses that speech to basically like evict me in week 3. And this is why she's so dangerous, right? This is why she's such a good player, which is why I was targeting her, right? Which is why I was so adamant about it, right? So like, so no, I wouldn't change it at all, right? Because if I didn't get her out week 2, I would have been out week 3, right? She would have backdoored me week 3. She talked about it, right? I knew it was going to happen.
Be rethinking everything now. I love it. You mentioned that you talked to Cameron's family. Anyone else that you've talked to, like alumni, have reached out or anything like that, or other?
Yeah, the alumni have all been really supportive. A lot of alumni reached out to me because they saw how I was portrayed on television. A lot of them were like, just because you're portrayed one way on television doesn't make it true, which I thought was really lovely. You know, I obviously reached out to Joseph from season 24, both being Arabs and playing this game. I'm naturally endeared to him because of our cultural background. You know, I have heard from several other people. You know, it's been lovely. It has absolutely been lovely. And I cannot complain about how wonderful people have treated me. And just most recently, I heard from a couple people from season 6 that just made me feel really good. That, like, for example, Michelle reached out to me to basically be like, I know it's hard and no one will understand what it's like to have been in that house. But you do. And the way you got removed is similar to how I got removed. And it sucks. And it's just nice to hear that from people.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Would you ever consider going under Brother again, or potentially the Challenge or Survivor?
Yeah, I love an adventure, right? Like the whole reason I went on Big Brother originally is because I wanted an adventure. I was afraid that my life had gotten too stagnant. And the truth is, like, I have everything that I could possibly want. Like, I have a great job. I have like a great dog. I have like awesome family and friends. I'm connected politically and artistically. Like, there is nothing that I could ask for that I don't already have. But the one thing that was interesting about Big Brother is you can't pay to do that experience, right? You have to be offered that experience. And so to go on an adventure where you get offered an opportunity to live out like your childhood dreams and play one of the most complicated social games that has ever been created, and to have an adventure to basically decide like what I loved, what I didn't love, what I wanted to change, what I didn't want to change. I mean, that's invaluable. That's invaluable. And I'm so lucky to have gotten to play the game, even though I'm eliminated.
But, our last question really is, in terms of, one, who do you want to see win? And 2, who do you think right now is the best path, I guess, to winning?
Yeah, the gameplay has gotten really complicated and messy. And it's hard to basically pick a winner at this point in time because you're watching people make weird choices and they're unpredictable. And when you're playing with such unpredictability, it's very hard to predict who's going to win. I think most likely Saria is positioned to win, right? She basically still has Jared in the house. She has America on her side when they basically award her an opportunity to play for the Invincibility Power. She has 17 years of experience in reality television. She's been a part of all of the major alliances. And a lot of people think that she'll steamroll through the season. And there's not a lot of people targeting her, right? The only two people who are kind of talking about it are, you know, America and Cameron. But she is going to escape this week with Jared winning the power of veto. Most likely, I should say, will escape. Who knows? It's always unpredictable. The person that I think is the sort of the dark horse, the person that you should be paying attention to, is Mikole, or Mikole. And the reason you should be paying attention to her is she is physically very strong. She's already shown she can do her endurance. She stays until like the third person out in the pressure cooker, right? In addition, right, she's smart and she's strategic and she's not playing the game emotionally. She also does a great job of physically distancing herself when problems are happening and physically approaching when things are good. And she's just playing so smart that watching her, if people are not paying attention to her, she's going to get deep in the game and she's going to be too hard to get out. And one of the things I knew just what the professor side, she was in every major alliance. Right? She was like always the fourth person. And I remember Izzy asking me at one point in time, like, who's our fourth? And I said, well, my fourth was Red. And she's like, what about Mikole? And I was like, well, I don't know her. But the reason why it's Mikole is that Mikole is more likely to choose them than to choose me. And Red was more likely to choose me than to choose them. And then I knew that rift was starting, right? When they asked me that question.
I think she's going to go far too.
And I think she could win the whole game, right? And she has everything she needs.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Haisam. It was amazing that you were joining us today. It was really fun. For the listeners, please like, subscribe, leave a 5-star review, and I'll see you guys next week.
Yeah, please like and subscribe. Do what she says.
I'm Alistair Campbell from The Rest Is Politics.
Anish Kumar here from Podsafe the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, it's very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Pod Save the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September.
Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams, whew,
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
You're listening to Leaf Filter Radio, and the guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Counihan, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions.
Hey, everybody, Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have Leaf Filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A Leaf Filter Trusted Pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install Leaf Filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, Leaf Filter Trusted Pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/day to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/day for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.